My desire for some time has been to look at specific texts within the book of Deuteronomy that are quoted in the New Testament. The book of Psalms is quoted quite extensively in the New Testament, and the book of Deuteronomy stands next in line as far as those Old Testament books which are quoted by our Lord and by the apostles. And so it's quite appropriate that we look into this great book of Deuteronomy. The text this morning is specifically Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verses 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. May God give us grace to be able to do just that. The book of Deuteronomy is the second law. That's actually what the word Deuteronomy means. Deuteros, second, nomos, law. And it's a Greek term, and it comes from the Old Testament in the Greek version. This is what it's called in the Greek version. And it gets its name, the book of Deuteronomy gets its name from chapter 17 and verse 18. If you would look at that particular verse with me, you'll see that in Deuteronomy chapter, it's chapter 17 and verse 18. Now it shall come about when he sits on the throne, that is the king, when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself a copy of this law on a scroll in the presence of the Levitical priests. In other words, the king of Israel was to have a copy of the law of God. And it was a copy of this particular book, which was written by Moses as the people were on the plain of Moab, prepared to cross the Jordan River and enter more specifically into the land which God had promised them. There were 2.5 tribes that were to occupy the east side of Jordan, and then the other tribes were to occupy the other side of Jordan. And when the people were on the plain of Moab, Moses brought before them this book, and the kings of Israel were to have a copy of this book. A second book. That's the idea. That's where the word comes from. The people of Israel took it that way. And so this copy was a second book, a second law. And this law was a law that was for the people. It was a book that was not written for the priests. That would be Leviticus, for the Levites. This was a book that was written more for the people, and it was an exposition of the law of God, principally. And it is, as we see it, a book that is covenantal, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But in the text that's before us, what we see is that we're to love the Lord our God with all of our hearts, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and all of our strength. At least as Jesus quotes this particular text. And what we are brought to is this, it seems to me. And I've got this statement at the head of the outline. I don't have it right, though, do I? Should be, you are privileged. No, it's your privileged position. I'll get it straight here. Your privileged position before God carries with it the profound responsibility of thoroughly loving God. And that's our text. That because we have this position before God as His people, we have profound responsibility to love the Lord our God. And that's our text in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verses 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Now, as we understand this love of God that Moses speaks about in Deuteronomy, we need to understand dear friends, that we live in covenant with God. And we need to understand that Deuteronomy is a covenant document and that Jesus Christ is the covenant Savior. Deuteronomy is a book that is like a covenant, and it gives to us, first of all, the God of the covenant and some of the things that God did as He brought the people of Israel into the promised land, or at least into the land of Moab, approaching this crossing of the Jordan. And the first four chapters of the book of Deuteronomy set the groundwork, lay out for us some of the things that God has done and show us who this God is, the God of the covenant. And then in chapter 5 of Deuteronomy, there is a recitation of the Ten Commandments. Of course, we find that in Exodus chapter 20 also. But at the forefront of this book of Deuteronomy, we find the Ten Commandments. And then in the 6th chapter of Deuteronomy, we find a summary statement of God's law. That's where we are in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verses 4 and 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. That's a summary. And what is happening here is that the God of the covenant is presented, and then the stipulations of the covenant are set forth, more particularly in the form of the Ten Commandments. This is how we are to live. And in this summary form, you shall love the Lord your God. And then in the following chapters, all the way through the book, up to chapter 27, we have basically an exposition of the practicality of God's commandments, God's covenant, and our responsibility. And the summary is in verses 4 and 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. And the rest of the book expounds that and talks about it in detail. And then in chapters 27 and 28, we have the sanctions of the covenant, the blessings and the cursings of the covenant. And in the remainder of the book, we have additional stipulations which are given, and the final moment, the final part of Moses' life. The book of Deuteronomy is basically a covenant document. Now, it's very interesting that you will find that this is the case in a couple of other references in the Old Testament. Keep your finger there in Deuteronomy chapter 6, if you would, and turn with me to the book of 2 Kings. Okay? 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, 2 Kings, and the 23rd chapter, which gives us Josiah, the boy king, and the renewing of the covenant, the discovery of the Word of God, and the renewing of the covenant. 2 Kings 23. Then the king sent, and they gathered to him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up to the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And they read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. And what was that book of the covenant? Deuteronomy. It was the book of Deuteronomy. This book that we're beginning to look into. This second law, which was read. The king stood by the pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all of his heart and all of his soul to carry out the words of this covenant. And you see a reflection of Deuteronomy 6. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And all the people entered into the covenant. You see, we have responsibilities as a result of being a part of the people of God. Your privileged position before God carries with it the responsibility of thoroughly loving God. And this is what the Scriptures are telling us here. Well, Deuteronomy is a covenant document, and Christ is the covenant Lord. We're going to go back to Deuteronomy 6, but look in the New Testament now. In 1 Corinthians, please. 1 Corinthians. After the Gospels comes the book of Acts, and after Acts comes Romans, and then 1 Corinthians and 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11 and verses 23 and following. Here's the implementation of the Lord's Supper as given to the Apostle Paul by Jesus Christ. For I received from the Lord, Paul is saying this, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The blood of Jesus Christ is the blood of the covenant. And one of the questions then that comes into our heads is this the same covenant that we've already spoken of in Deuteronomy and of which Deuteronomy itself speaks? And we'll answer that question momentarily. It's the blood of the covenant. We're in a covenant relationship. Deuteronomy is a covenant book. Jesus Christ is the covenant Lord. And because we are in covenant with God, we have certain responsibilities to God. Let's go back to Deuteronomy now, to the 6th chapter and verses 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Deuteronomy summarizes the stipulations of this covenant with God in these verses. The stipulations that are outlined in the 5th chapter in the Ten Commandments and that are explored in detail in the following chapters, the stipulations are summarized here. That means the requirements are set before us in a very concise and succinct form, our duties and responsibilities before God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. That's the summary. And that's what it all boils down to. You know, we don't have to go very far to understand that, do we? And we're going to look in the New Testament momentarily to see that this is the case as far as Jesus Christ himself is concerned. But the point here is simply this, that this is the nub of it. As far as Deuteronomy is concerned, this is the central aspect of everything. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. And it's very interesting, isn't it, that little word, all, is prominent. It could be translated whole. Whole. You shall love the Lord your God with your whole heart. In other words, no aspect of your heart is to be absent from this inclination of love. You shall love the Lord your God with your whole soul, with all of your strength, the whole of your strength. The whole person is involved here. And I think that's what Moses is getting at. And so, the covenant means, and covenant life means, as I say in the third point, love for God in all of the heart, soul, and strength. Now let's just dwell on that for a moment. What about loving God with your whole heart? What about loving God with your whole heart? All of your inclinations, the disposition of your heart, all that you are in the core of your being is inclined toward God. Is that correct? Well, I see a couple of smiles. We could say, well, you know, I love life. And I love life. What about that? And I also love my employment. Well, some of us love our employment. And we can say that we love our families, do we not? Let's try and work that into the mix a little bit. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart. Every inclination of your disposition should be inclined towards God. You shall love the Lord your God with your whole soul. In other words, your life should be devoted to God. My life should be devoted to God. The soul is the source of our human existence, human life. Yes, I understand the fact that we derive our lives from God, but God sustains us, humanly speaking, in our souls. And when our souls depart from our bodies, we're gone from this life. And with all of our lives, everything that's in us, we should love God. That's what the text is saying. And with all of our strength, with every iota of power that's resident within my body, it ought to be directed towards God. That's a lot, isn't it? It really is. You shall love the Lord your God with your whole heart, your whole soul, and your whole strength. That's what God's calling us to. Well, what about love of life? Think about this for a minute. Jesus says, he who seeks to save his life will lose it. Right? He who seeks to save his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will gain it. In other words, if we have a love for life, and we do have a love for life, it should be wrapped with and intertwined with and empowered with a love for God. And the reason for our living should be God. God gives us gifts and talents, and we're to use those gifts and talents. And we love, in many instances, our jobs. I know you don't have to go very far to talk to a guy that loves to go out there and get on that tractor and go into that field. It's a love. What does Jesus say? You cannot love God and mammon. You cannot love God and money. That's what Jesus says. Now, does this mean that you can't enjoy your employment? You can't enjoy the tasks that God has given you? No. But what it means is that your employment and the the joy that you have in your work should be entwined and governed by and empowered by and motivated by a love for God. It should all come together. And you love your family, do you not? I love my family. Irma and I had great joy going to Colorado and visiting with our daughter and son-in-law and seeing their joy in their living circumstance and beginning seminary. It was a great joy to us. And we love our family. You know what Jesus says? He says, you're to love me more than father and mother. More than your family. That's what he says. And I think in part what that means is that our love for our family must be empowered and intertwined with and enveloped with a love for God. And it must all come together. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength. Jesus preached this, didn't he? Let's go to the New Testament now. To Mark chapter 12 that we read earlier. Mark chapter 12. One of the scribes, verse 28. Mark 12, 28. One of the scribes came and heard them arguing, and recognizing that he had answered them well, asked him, what commandment is the foremost of all? Here's a scribe, a legal eagle in the religious realm of the Israelites, one who knew the law of God. Jesus answered the question, what is the foremost commandment? And lo and behold, what Jesus does is quote from Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5. Well, verses 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The whole person is to be loving God. And Jesus adds, with all your mind, that is, with all your intellectual capabilities, you are to love God. You are to use your intellectual capabilities for the love of God. You students, you young people, use your heads, the gray matter God has given you, for the purposes of adoring God through Jesus Christ. That's part of what you're to do. That's part of what God has called you to do. And it's very interesting, is it not? Jesus says, the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And Jesus quotes Leviticus 19:18. Then the scribe doesn't lack in any confidence. The scribe says to Jesus, right, teacher, I'll give you a good score on that. You did pretty well, Jesus. You have truly stated, he is one and there is no one else besides him. Another quote from Deuteronomy, this one from chapter 4 and verse 35. We don't have time to look at that now, but we will look at that later. Verse 33 in Mark chapter 12. And to love him with all the heart and all the understanding and with all the strength and to love one's neighbor as himself is much more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. You got it right, Jesus. You hit on the key element in Scripture. Love God. Well, Jesus is doing pretty well here, isn't he? Verse 34, when Jesus saw that he had answered intelligently, he said to him, and here's the clincher as far as Jesus is concerned, you are not far from the kingdom of God. After that, no one would venture to ask him, that is Jesus, any more questions. Jesus says to this individual, you're not far from the kingdom of God. Now let's get a couple of points here. Number one is this. Is the covenant that Jesus ratifies with his own blood the same covenant that Moses speaks of in the Old Testament? Apparently it is. Because Jesus picks out the central element of the Old Testament in Deuteronomy and says that this is the foremost commandment. And of course we know that that's the case from other places in Scripture. So the covenants are the same. And the second thing to get here is that Jesus says to this scribe, you are not far from the kingdom of God. You're not in it, but you're not far from it. You get that? You're not in it, but you're not far from it. And we learn, dear friends, as I have in the outline in the fifth point, that a formal knowledge of the rule of love brings us close to God's kingdom, but it does not place us in it. A formal knowledge of the things of God places us close to God's kingdom, but it does not place us in it. Think about Nicodemus. Did Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a member of the Sanhedrin, know the book of Deuteronomy, know the book of the covenant, and know the central idea of the book of the covenant, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? Yes, he did. And what did Jesus say to Nicodemus? Remember? You must be born again. Think about Paul. Did Paul know the book of Deuteronomy? You bet he did. Did Paul know the covenant stipulations of the book of Deuteronomy, the Ten Commandments? Absolutely. Did Paul know the central theme of the book of Deuteronomy, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart? Yes, he did. And God had to take him on that Damascus road and throw him off of his mount and put him into darkness, and he had to send a man to bring to him the gospel, and he had to be born again. A formal knowledge brings an individual close, but a formal knowledge is not sufficient. Please turn, if you would, back to the book of Deuteronomy, and this time to the end of the book of Deuteronomy, to chapter 30 and to verse 6. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 6. moreover, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, so that you may live. What must take place? God must give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. In terms of the Old Testament, it is circumcise your heart. Cut out the flesh and the heart of stone and give you a new heart, and cause you to walk in His statutes and to love His ordinances. You must be born again, as Jesus said to Nicodemus. The requirement is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength. And the requirement is on me as well as it is upon you. And that's a covenant requirement that God lays before us. And the only way we may in any manner be brought into obedience to that covenant requirement is by the grace of God, altering our dispositions and making us desirous of moving in that direction with all of our strength to love Him, by causing us to be born again, by making us new on the inside. A formal knowledge will not get you into the gates of heaven, but a formal knowledge, I say to you, dear friends, in Christ is important, necessary, but it is not enough. And you must come to a saving knowledge of this precept by the grace of God and by the work of the Holy Spirit of God. And that's why I say, in the final point in the outline, love of heart, soul, and strength begins and ends with God and stems from within. May God make it so in your life and in mine. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your Word. Grant that we may hear it and live by it.